This is Masters of Dispute Resolution on PodClips. Masters of Dispute Resolution is designed to provide those involved in the mediation process with the views of the most experienced and accomplished mediators and others experienced in the process. Through our discussions, you will gain insight into how to address and overcome difficult issues and achieve more satisfying results in mediation. Your host is Len Levy, mediator and arbitrator with ADR Services, Inc., a leading alternative dispute resolution provider. Lynn litigated complex cases for more than 30 years and has been a mediator since 1998 and is a member of the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals. He has been recognized as a super lawyer in alternative dispute resolution each year since 2014. And now your host, Lynn Levy.
Thank you, Daryl. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Season 4 of Masters of Dispute Resolution, a podcast which will add tools to your mediation toolbox. We're brought to you by the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals and ADR Services, Inc. In each episode, you will hear a story about a conflict, the impact that conflict had on the lives of the parties involved, how resolution was reached, and lessons to be taken from that conflict and its resolution. Now, many of the details of the story you're about to hear have been modified to preserve the confidentiality essential to mediation, while also conveying the essence of the conflict and its resolution. Well, today we are really honored to be joined by someone I met only a couple of months ago, but I feel like I've known all my life. All right. You know, Steve Paul, who is a full-time mediator based in Los Angeles, primarily mediates labor and employment disputes, including discrimination, wrongful termination, harassment, and wage and hour individual and class action claims. Steve is also a distinguished fellow and the immediate past president of the International Academy of Mediators, a preeminent organization by invitation only. And also, Steve has been an adjunct professor at the Strauss Institute for dispute resolution for the past several years, where he teaches advanced mediation and employment dispute resolution. He frequently lectures and speaks locally and internationally on mediation, conflict resolution, and negotiation. And prior to becoming a mediator, Steve was in-house legal and business affairs senior counsel at Warner Brothers Studios, where he provided legal oversight of the studio's day-to-day operations. Steve graduated Phi Beta Kappa from UC Berkeley, and he's actually a double bear because he received his law degree from Berkeley Law School. Steve, welcome, and thank you for agreeing to be on this podcast.
Thank you very much, Len. And I too feel that we are akin from way back, and as a Bruin to a bear, another bond. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, Steve, you know, you have an interesting story to tell, I know. And it is something that that you and I talked about, but I'm not going to give any more comments other than just to say there were three young women and they had worked for an international hospitality agency, and their fundamental privacy was invaded. So why don't you give us the background from this story?
Sure, I will. And that's right, Len. And so in this unfortunate story, you know, issue that had happened is I was presented with a case where there were three young women, you know, probably late 20s or so, that themselves were, it was an international hospitality agency, and they were of the same, you know, background and the same home as the country providing the services, which actually really enforced modesty, privacy, discretion, humility, just as a cultural norm. And what happened here, if I may, was while in the workplace, one of them had discovered that there was a live camera video that was placed in the woman's restroom. And that was extremely shocking. It was humiliating, resulted in much shame. And, you know, I think what even amplified this invasion, I say it as if instead of being an allegation of the plaintiff or potential plaintiff, because it was pre-litigation, is that these weren't disputed facts, right? And often we have disputed facts. So this is what had occurred, and what amplified it was that there was a strong indication that the individual responsible for placing these video cameras in the woman's restroom was an executive of this firm, and was then tipped off that there was this discovery, and was then nowhere to be seen thereafter.
Wow. So now you don't you have three women whose privacy is invaded in a most basic way, and the individual responsible for this is gone, so that holding him responsible, getting some measure of satisfaction by having some ramifications for him, those are some of the things taken away from them.
That's right. And to the extent that one of the interests, because I will tell you that there was much deliberation by them individually and collectively as whether to bring any kind of a legal action. What would that impact be on them? You know, the time, fortunately, being in pre-litigation, this wasn't, you know, depositions and discovery and motion practice. It was maybe, I think it was about a year or so after the incident occurred. But you're right. He was nowhere to be found. And there was a feeling of, where is our, you know, justice? Where is that? And so, of course, the next layer would be the firm itself.
So you're dealing also, I'm hearing, with cultural norms, and the cultural norms perhaps exacerbated the sense of shame. Did each of the women react similarly to this incident?
You know, it's interesting, and yes and no. I think that there was a certain sense that by the three of them together, that made it, it provided a bit easier to collectively have the same lawyer, go through the process. Yet the three of them, and we'll get to this when we talk about you know, how the mediation transpired, but they did have very different personal emotional responses at the same time. And I will tell you that one of the issues that we very early, even before the mediation, but in convening, was there only going to be three, or would there have been potentially more? And that was something that we needed to clearly iron out beforehand. But yes, each of them, while very similar, you know, issue, had very different emotional reactions. They were quite severe.
Wow. Wow. So were they undergoing therapy, things of that nature as well?
I'll tell you, and this came out over the course of the day and actually what turned out to be a night and into a morning, which we don't hear as much of, but I knew this was going to be a long session. It was going to be productive. One did, two did not. One of the young women actually returned back home with her family. One of the women had suicidal ideation and did require significant intervention and counseling. And another tried to just bury it as if it didn't happen and stay on with the firm. And then it was clear that that wasn't going to work out and was doing some odd jobs. So they did have very, as we often see, even with a similar event. And the other issue I might say is that there was a concern of all three of them is where are the videos? Are they going to be published? Are they going to be placed on the internet? That was never, we ended up with language in the agreement that addressed that somewhat, but that was also a concern.
Well, these are very significant concerns, and they're concerns of the plaintiffs, but they also impact, I would think, on what kinds of solutions might be employed to resolve this, which we will be going into when we get back. I'm Len Levy. We're on Masters of Dispute Resolution, and I am chatting with Steve Paul. We'll be back.
Masters of Dispute Resolution would like to thank ADR Services Incorporated, your partner in resolution, and its founder, Lucy Barron, for supporting this podcast. ADR Services is one of the leading providers of alternative dispute resolution in California, leveraging technology to drive resolution. ADR Services is committed to dynamism in the face of growing client need and an ever-evolving legal climate. Now operating offices in all major legal markets of California, ADR Services provides unparalleled in-person and remote resolution services through its exclusive panel, comprised of more than 130 of the most distinguished and talented neutrals across the state, capable of handling challenging and complex mediations, arbitrations, and other procedures in every field of law. When you seek the services of a neutral and you want results and satisfied clients, contact ADR Services, www.adrservices.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Masters of Dispute Resolution. I'm Len Levy, and I'm chatting with Steve Paul, who is telling a fascinating story that resulted in a mediation. When we broke, there were a couple of questions that came to mind. And one of them is, look, you have multiple plaintiffs. Was there one single approach? Were there multiple approaches? And how did you find that out?
Yeah, thanks, Len. In this case, and in many cases, particularly this case, not just on the side of these women and the claimant, but also I needed to get a sense going into the mediation on the defense and some complexities there. One of the things, if for no other reason that I wanted to get on the phone with their counsel was, when there are multiple plaintiffs, what's the understanding? What's the arrangement? Are we going to be when we get to a negotiation, is it going to be three separate negotiations or is it going to be global? And if it is going to be global, has there been an understanding by counsel with his clients as to what that's going to look like rather than getting into that during the day? And in this case, as we touched on earlier, there were different responses. There was, you know, different factual, you know, who stayed on, who had resigned, who had tried to go. There was, a potential claim of retaliation that was going to follow for the woman that had attempted to stay on for a while. So yes, and I find one thing in general that there could be, besides a few minutes of the mediator and counsel's time, there's never a downside to having a pre-mediation call. In this case, it was imperative. As it turned out, the understanding was it was going to be one global. And there was also going to be a translator that was available, though each of these young women spoke very fluent English, yet just as an assist. And the beauty of that was that the lawyer, very experienced employment lawyer, what he realized was that could also be an asset from an emotional basis, because they weren't bringing loved ones, they had each other. But the woman who was a translator was really almost a very soft maternal presence that, as we'll discuss, was really very helpful throughout the day. So we did have that call. There was going to be, when we got into it, a global negotiation. And then on the defense side, there were complicated insurance issues. There were several executives that had flown in for this mediation. I spoke to defense counsel and terror counsel because, you know, there were coverage issues. What do we need? Who needs to be there? There was also a board of directors that was on a very different time zone, and they needed to be in the loop, which I also felt was important, rather than putting this off. If we could get there, let's get there and try to get this resolved at the session, if that was going to happen.
Hey, so approaching this globally and meeting the emotional needs of three individuals can be a little tricky.
Yes, it can. And here's how we look to tackle that. And again, one potential takeaway is that this is not just myself as the mediator, you know, orchestrating the day and the session and working through it. One, it required a lot of teamwork with counsel, a lot of preparation, a lot of collaboration. And so at the outset of the day, if I may talk for a moment about where we mediated this case, because I think that was also quite significant. But at the outset of the day, I did go into the defense room and said, I'm going to need time. Understand that at various intervals, I'm going to need time. I will come back and check in with you periodically, but please be patient, because if this is going to work through successfully, there's going to be multi-layers of this case beyond evaluation, a factual discussion, and then getting right into, a negotiation. So at the outset, I invited all the women, counsel, and this interpreter were together, and I invited each of these women, if there was a time during the day that any of them, besides what we had talked about in our initial discussion about why we were there and some discussion of the impact, if there was a time that any of them individually would like to meet with me and sit down and have a conversation about the impact to them, I am available. And sure enough, it wasn't until 4 o'clock, but I did get that indication from one of the women. And I could go into that further when you're ready.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that. You're talking about a conference just with you without the attorney in the room?
No, and as a practice, I tend to discourage that for a variety of reasons. But the way we did it was, and this was some very good friends of mine and colleagues, Gig Kiriakou and Steve Cerveris in Burbank. They have really a house. They have a mediation venue that is two stories with hardwood floors and piped in music and great food and nourishment and breakout rooms, but soft recessed lighting and couches. And then outside, there's a fountain and a little fireplace. And so what we did when the one woman asked to meet me, this is around 4 o'clock, is with the lawyer, with the interpreter, and myself, and just her, not the other two women. But the lawyer stood off to the side, as did the interpreter. It was very unintentionally selectively. And we went out and we sat by the water fountain. And it must have been a good 45 minutes. And she really shared some very deep emotions and concerns, and there were tears, and we had that time together. Yes.
So you provided the emotional space necessary for the one of the women, and also available to the others, to go through the process that they needed to go through to accept a particular resolution.
Yes, and at the same time, on in the other rooms, we had discussions, and there was still a large gap, but making progress. And I could touch on the negotiation process itself, but with them, I also needed to spend on evaluation, on thoughts about what would happen if this case got in litigation. I mean, there was almost mutual leverage, because for both, it really would have been, this was not a case that should have been litigated. I frankly don't think that the woman being under deposition, it would have been healthy for them, but that's their choice with their counsel rather than mine. So we had made some progress. And then what I found was, as we're still working through a negotiation, I'm spending time back in the defense room. 2 hours later, I hear from plaintiff's counsel, a second woman would like to meet with you. And I said, absolutely. Just give me, please, 15, 20 minutes. I've got to spend some time with the carrier and carrier counsel. Absolutely.
One of the things that I would like to get into just a little bit more deeply is the emotional state of the women going in and the emotional state of the women coming out of the mediation at the end of the day. I'm Len Levy. I'm chatting with Steve Paul, and this is Masters of Dispute Resolution. Steve, as you've discussed this story, I'm sensing there were some dramatic changes in the attitudes of the participants as a result of that process. Can you give us an idea as to what the change in attitudes were and how you got there?
Yeah. Thanks, Len. Absolutely. And where we were was towards a later afternoon. I individually met with one of the women a couple hours later, in between doing work, obviously, with the defense and their emotions and fears and concerns and interests, of course. And that was complex. But then met with the second woman back, let's say 6 or 6:30. She wanted to have her time, and we set it up the same way. Although by that time, instead of sitting by the water fountain, it was by the fire pit outside. and then let me just add that the third woman, maybe 8:30 or 9 at night now, she wished to speak in that same setting with us. And all the while, the defense knew that I was going to need a lot of breath and please patience. And they were, while anxious to know where this was going, they were very much on board with whatever it took. So the emotions, I spoke that, they had, one ended up breaking up with a fiance, had trust issues with men. Another had suicidal ideation. Another just moved back home to regroup, because one of the emotions was the emotion of, making a life, a better life in California and in our state, and having success doing so, and then feeling that that all just went away by the flick of a red light and a video camera. And so what started with apprehension and a lot of conflicting, you know, should we have done this? Should we not? What are we doing? You know, I don't really want to talk about it, but we need to talk about it. And we don't want this to happen to anyone else. And the you know, perpetrator is long gone, yet we really feel betrayed by the firm itself. And extremely anxious, yet also angry. There's a lot of multitudes in their emotions there. And then when it was also, remember, concurrently, we're beginning to have discussions, which was a very large settlement demand, global, but, you know, quite robust, beyond coverage, you know, well beyond coverage at that point in time. It, you know, was because the defense wisely in our discussions about how to go about this negotiation, it was going to be with some other non-monetary, but it was going to be a dollar figure. It was going to get it done. There was hope. While we still had a gap in the late afternoon, the early evening, the mid-evening, there was significant progress. And that was having the effect of, instead of, I don't know what's going to happen, is I can see that there can be a light at the end of this very dark tunnel.
So the things that you had to do as a mediator in approaching this, and I'm hearing largely facilitative, but with an evaluative element here, you're having to establish trust in the course of a mediation session with at least one of the women whose trust level with men diminished because of this event. That is something that that trust and hope, establishing that under that those circumstances, can be very, very difficult. How did you do it?
Well, that's right. That's right. I think what helped was, you know, and it's still all in a short period of time that we need to do when we get into our rooms. You know, we need to build trust, maintain trust, enhance credibility, be evaluative when we need to be, deliver unencouraging news throughout the day, and yet maintain optimism. So in this case, I think it was simply by, at the outset, saying, this must be incredibly difficult for you. And I'm entrusted. I'm a perfect stranger. And I'm entrusted to help guide this process for you. So help me and tell me what you need. It also helped immensely to have this translator that was there, that was a woman that was, like I said, seen as a maternal figure. And in the other room, it also involved there was quite a lot of evaluative work done, really, in both rooms throughout the day at the same time.
Okay, so with the women having a state of apprehension going in, you finish with the women finally agreeing, and all in the while, you're dealing with emotions and money. How did you strike that balance to make this an effective event for them?
Sure, and that's often the dilemma we face, because no amount of money will restore their dignity. Yet there is a reparation here in this case that did occur, because we did get, you know, it was pretty late, but we did get to a number, and there was a certain symbolism in that number for them. It wasn't small, but it was agreeable and, you know, met the approval of the other side. Again, that was another discussion about contributions, et cetera, and approvals. And it was remarkable because when we did get to that number, putting aside for a moment some other non-monetary components that that made the relief so much more, the sense, the palpable sense of relief and feeling some element of vindication and feeling an element that they were in this together. Really, I remember that the three of them, you know, they were outside hugging each other. But this point's getting pretty chilly. But they were, and they sat out there together alone for a period of time while I was doing my work with the other groups. But it was remarkable.
Well, you know, the alternative to reaching a resolution in this is litigation. And typically that process, I've used this phrase for many years in mediation. But what people don't realize is that litigation is fundamentally each side calling the other a liar for however long the trial is, which is not, it is not designed to meet emotional needs. And I have to commend you on your ability to know what process had to be used, how to approach that process, and to convey the sense of hope and meeting emotional needs. And that, by the way, is not easy, I know. So we're going to take a break right now. And when we get back, we're going to have some takeaways that you might find to be pretty useful, whether you are a mediator, an attorney, or someone who is going to be participating in mediation. We'll be back. I'm Len Levy, and we're chatting with Steve Paul on Masters of Dispute Resolution.
Masters of Dispute Resolution is sponsored by the National Academy of Distinguished Neutrals. NADN is the premier invitation-only association of civil mediators and arbitrators in the United States, with members in every state of the nation. Only experienced ADR professionals who are widely acceptable to local plaintiff and defense firms are invited to join the Academy's roster. The Academy's website, NADN.org, is the most widely visited neutrals database in the world today, with over 40,000 law offices, insurance companies, and corporations visiting our free website annually. Firms can search for neutrals by many criteria, including location, case expertise, qualifications, language skills, and most NADN members also publish their available dates, calendars, online, making NADN.org the go-to website for law firms wishing to schedule appointments online with their preferred mediators. For more information, please visit www.nadn.org today.
Welcome back to Masters of Dispute Resolution, and we have been subjected to a treat of sorts. I'm not sure subjected to is the right word, but we have heard some very, very useful takeaways from events, but there are, I'm sure, going to be some more. And Steve, what takeaways do you have as far as the major ones for this story?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Well, first, you know, keep in mind the focus of this discussion has been in the room of the you know, potential plaintiffs, the and there was a lot of work, different work, so that was involved, wearing a very different hat okay, given cultural norms, given my role, given the dynamics, given the participants there. So one takeaway is, what is needed, right? What do we need? And that we don't always know that, no matter how much we think or we script or we have pre-mediation calls. You know, one thing it underscores for me is a need to be fluid and to adapt. I didn't know that these women would actually, I'm very glad that they did take the invitation, that if there's any point in time that you'd like to really spend some time talking with me. Obviously, I'm not a therapist, but I'm there for that role. If it's going to assist in resolution and beyond, we'll talk about that in a moment. But really, it's what's needed. You know, what is needed for me at any given moment? What's needed from them? And it's got to be a team effort, right? And in many of the employment cases that I mediate, that same level of really getting into the emotions may not be necessary. I may think it may be necessary, or I may think it may be unnecessary. But if it's going to be a barrier, and if it's going to assist the parties at the end of the day, resolution or not, in this session, because as you touched on, in a mediation, it's not a deposition. It's not a hearing. It's not an arbitration. There's not examination. It's an opportunity to have a conversation much like we're having. And so one takeaway is setting it up. And I don't always have pre-mediation calls. Yeah. I always invite counsel. If there's anything you'd like to talk about besides what's in the brief, besides the facts, or if there's something that strikes me, I will, when there's multiple parties, I want to get a sense of what are you all talking about? You know, what's your relationship? What's been your communication, if there's going to be, multiple layers of contribution. So that is one. And we've just touched on, the process, adaptable and fluid. I like to try to be as transparent as I can. Obviously, there's confidences, I like to let all participants know, this is why I may be asking this. This is why I may be doing this. This is why I think this is relevant. This is why these are my concerns, instead of just get out your checkbook because you're in a whole bunch of trouble here. This is what my thinking is. And having done this long enough, I don't have a crystal ball yet. These are things that occur to me, which may occur to a jury or a judge.
And this furthers the principle of self-determination that is so important. Identifying the needs requires different things in different settings. In this one, one of the things that stood out is that there was something that wasn't planned for. Mm-hmm. And that was the role of that translator. That was something that was a very fortunate emotional crutch, as it were, or a resource that the parties who were injured could use. Mm-hmm. And so your recognizing that is something that that takes a lot of practice. There's one thing that I think also that you exhibited here, and that was the ability to truly hear the parties and conveying that you were truly hearing what was going on with them, and trying approaches that would allow them to meet their emotional needs.
Yeah, that's right, Len. And some of this is trial and error. And the beauty of what we do is no one's going anywhere. My 5'6" frame might not physically be able to block a doorway, but there is interest in sticking around and working it through and trying different avenues. And if it appears that we need to take a different approach, go ahead. In fact, I will add, I also spoke to the board that was overseas, two or three members of that board, and indicated at the outset, I am available to them directly as you need with counsel, with, some of the executives. It just being a resource. The other, if I may, the other, the time we have, just one or two takeaways is the negotiation process. Now, there were other terms. There was a form of apology, which can be tricky, but there was a form of apology that was acceptable that we started talking about when it appeared that there may be a resolution. There's a form of, in the event there's any, sense that there is any, footage and whatnot, that immediately a requirement to notify counsel that would then, notify opposing counsel and, arrange for destruction. But the negotiation process is really important. And there's where I think we could be a resource. I'm not going to say coach. Coach implies coach, one side or the other, but a resource. And in this case, and increasingly, a lot of our colleagues are looking for ways not to streamline or shortcut, but really make the negotiation process most efficient and not a 6 or 8 or 10 move back and forth to make sure that it's the best result, but to go about it in a different, more thoughtful approach. And that in this case, it was very important here that at the outset, even with a very ambitious demand, that initial offer was beyond what might have been the normal offer. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we worked on. And it helped. And I suppose I have one more if you're ready for me.
Absolutely. Let me just add this. This is not a distributive bargaining situation. This is the furthest from a distributive bargaining situation. You're trading off things that are not like the others. So anyway, you have one last takeaway that we can wrap up with.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was initially a offer demand, and then okay, let's try to hone in on something. And that's this though. The last takeaway is, I'm most interested in one, being a resource to reach a resolution, but really allowing the parties to make their own informed decision about what their option is. And that to me is a successful mediation, right? You know now what the alternative is and what you could achieve here. Also, in this case and others that I've recently done is, how will the parties reflect on this besides, well, I went through that, that was painful, I got it done, but is there something in the process we can do that has a lasting positive impact? And sometimes that's achievable, sometimes it isn't. But increasingly, that is something that I've been seeing in my cases where there's almost a transformative component at the end of the day. Not in every case, but where it's available, I think it's our role to try to help there.
Which requires the skill set that you have to recognize when that is a possibility. And with that, we are out of time. I thank you very much for this conversation. And I would love to have you back as a guest sometime in the future, if it's agreeable to you. And in the meantime, Steve, what is the best way that people can contact you to book a mediation or just discuss mediation with you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I didn't anticipate that last question, but I guess I should have. I've got a website. I think it's paulmediation.com. My email is steve@swpaul.com. And I have a case manager who's terrific, Sonia Patel, who also knows how to reach me. Glad to be here, Len. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you again. And thank you, Daryl Wade, my engineer and producer. I'm your host, Len Levy, and this is Masters of Dispute Resolution on Podclips.io, powered by Infogen Labs, Inc. I hope you will continue to enjoy the stories we bring you. And in the meantime, stay well, keep listening, and remember, peace of mind is enhanced when conflicts are resolved.
If you wish to contact Len Levy, you can reach him through his email at lslevy@adrservices.com, through Len's website, lenlevymediate.com, telephone him at 818-903-5562, or contact his case manager at ADR Services, 213-683-1600.